From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Radio Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for March 13th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We are live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, available live and on demand via libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. On the Sabbath, we rest. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. A quick recap of the freedom-loving, faith-filled, fantastic Friday broadcast. We had our guest on Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org first. And we talked about, quote, gunning for you. It starts, Democrats begin campaign against your Second Amendment, your God-given unalienable rights to self-defense. In a flurry of hostile attacks against your right to self-defense, the U.S. House passed two bills this week. Devastating. The first one is H.R. 8. They call it the Bipartisan Background Checks Act of 2021. Also, H.R. 1436, the Enhanced Background Checks Act of 2021. It'll extend the review period on background checks for gun sales from 3 days to 10 days. It is disaster, folks, big time. And the next article we talked about in relation to this, Brandon Smith wrote an incredible article saying this, how the fight over American freedom will probably escalate. Look, when they come for the guns, folks, no sane society allows that to occur. Because once they take the guns, the gloves are off when it comes to out-of-control government seeking power and control of every aspect of our lives. And when it comes to the people, they become more vulnerable because they have no way to keep government in check. We also talked about, with Lowell Nelson, the wrap on the 2021 Utah legislative session. The good, the bad, the ugly. Lowell says, overall, I don't think we lost too much liberty this session. 45-day of terror gets a C+, says Lowell Nelson. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Hour 2, our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley, to Preserve the Nation, freedomsrisingsun.com. We talked about some Senate Democrats voted against raising the minimum wage. That's good news. Shows we can, in a bipartisan way, stop their shenanigans. We also talked about three would-be robbers. Basically had a 69-year-old man shut down the robbers because he had a concealed carry permit. He shot one of them, stopped the thugs from robbing him. Great news, in my opinion. By the way, no guns seized from Capitol demonstrators and no shots fired except for the government killing the veteran. But yet they say it was an armed insurrection. How can that be when they found no guns? FBI Director Wray, he says this without evidence, by the way, that sovereign citizens and militias are responsible for the BLM riots. He's off his rocker. Vote Democrat. By the way, it's easier than working. We'll talk about that with our guests coming up as the broadcast unfolds. But first, I want to talk about elections. Yeah, elections. Jessica Anderson, she's the executive director of Heritage Action for America. And she basically went on Fox and Friends, and they are doing something about election fraud, more something than I've heard from anybody else. Let's play a clip, then introduce our guest. The clip starts now.
Okay, as President Joe Biden pushes the Senate to pass a sweeping voting rights bill, one nonprofit group is looking to tighten up election security. Heritage Action for America is investing $10 million to protect voting in swing states.
The group's executive director, Jessica Anderson, joins us now. Jessica, thank you so much for being with us this morning. $10 million that you are putting towards this. Let's have a look at how you're planning on spending it. First up, support stricter rules on voter ID, support citizenship verification, ballot harvesting, easier for states to clean voter rolls, and to facilitate the job of election observers. There is clearly and has been some criticism and a lack of trust in the electoral process recently. How are you hoping to change that?
Thanks for having me this morning. The ability to have faith in our electoral system is really key to our American Republic. And so we want to work at the state level to enact these reforms to make it possible for governors and state legislators to put these best practices in place. And these are common sense reforms that over 80% of Americans support. So when we look at the changes that are needed at the state level, we know that they are doable and that they're well wanted by the American people. And we think if this can be done, it can help restore some of that faith in our electoral system before the next election.
Let's take a look at the states that this effort will target. That includes Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Michigan, Nevada, Texas, and Wisconsin. Two-part question. First of all, why these states? Second of all, how will you go about this? Is this kind of a boots-on-the-ground type effort? Will this be targeted ads? What do you plan to do?
So each of these states was determined because of the political makeup on the ground, but also Heritage Action has an incredible grassroots footprint across the country. We have over 2 million activists. These activists are ready in these states. They're ready to engage with their state legislators, with their governors. So we'll be activating them, driving calls to action. We'll also be running digital and television ads, all with the message that common sense reforms like voter ID, like prohibiting private funding into our election, like ending all of the attributes that are around same-day registration, are possible, and they're possible at the state level. This is the role of the states to safeguard our election and put these reforms in place, get the federal government out of here, block H.R. 1, and allow the state reforms to take place at a state-by-state basis.
Yeah, Jessica, you mentioned H.R. 1 there. Well, let's just pull up what exactly the Democrats are trying to push through now. It will bar states from restricting the ability to vote by mail, establish an automatic voter registration system, and it guarantees same-day voter registration. What do you make of that, and is it likely to pass?
Well, H.R. 1 is Nancy Pelosi's hallmark or trademark bill. It's the first bill. It's her first priority. It passed this last week in the House, but it was opposed by a bipartisan group of members of Congress. And so there was one Democrat that opposed it. It's worth noting it wasn't just Republicans that opposed it, because most Americans support common sense reforms around our election. They don't want this federal power grab that's in place with H.R. 1. It will move now to the Senate, where it will likely be reintroduced sometime in March. Whether or not it's able to pass and make its way to Biden's desk, we sure hope not, and we're working hard to ensure it doesn't. But in the meantime, we can tackle these state reforms and ensure that they're in place at the state government level.
Okay. Jessica Anderson, keep us updated. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line is the Democrats are going for broke. They have learned over time, the Democrats and the Republicans in the swamp, they can commit vote fraud and absolutely, unequivocally get away with it. Are we going to allow that to happen? Are we going to allow that to stand unchallenged? I think not. The Heritage Foundation doing a great job starting off or kicking off the real effort to make a difference and stop voter fraud. The good sheriff, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org, riding shotgun. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Saturday morning.
And yes, indeed, it's a beautiful Saturday freezing morning in the Rocky Mountains. For you, not so bad in Arizona, huh?
We're having rain and cooler temperatures. No question about that.
What did you guys do, drop down to 50 or something?
Yeah.
What do you think of Jessica Anderson and the executive, the Heritage Foundation action? Heritage Action for America saying we're going to put $10 million into local reality. This is the first time they're pushing for state reform and changes to try to stop the election fraud and the election shenanigans, sir.
Well, it's certainly a sign of the times, and it would be great if the states could control their own elections and also stop voter fraud. I have absolutely no faith, though, that that's going to happen. What the Democrats are trying to do is two different things. Legalize vote cheating and create a monopoly for themselves across the entire country to control politics. They're literally going to have a dishonest, corrupt monopoly over the political structure of America. And it looks like both are going to happen.
Do you think we, the people, along with the Heritage Foundation, putting $10 million in, if we organize at the grassroots level, can we stop it?
No. No, I really don't.
I mean, with $10 million at the helm, huh?
Well, what difference does the money make? You know, until you find some way to verify voting or stop using computerized voting for tabulating votes, then it's not going to stop. I mean, you might get a few states to do it that are like South Dakota and Florida, you know, and I don't even think you're going to stop it in Florida. But you have to do something besides computerized voting.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, they're trying to get rid of mail-in voting as well with $10 million. So that's a start, at least. We'll see what happens. The good Sheriff Richard Mack with us, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and the good Sheriff Richard Mack, breaking down what's going on. Vote fraud, certainly trying to be, let's see, what they usually do is they commit a fraud. And then when they don't get busted for it, they realize they can commit it all day long. But then what they do is they back into codifying it by law. That's what happened with George Bush, literally spying on all Americans back in the day. George Bush said, hey, we're spying. Well, he got caught spying on everybody at first. and he lied and said, no, we're only looking into, you know, interactions between possible terrorist people and people in America with international connections to terror, and don't worry, it's all good. And then later it came out that George Bush literally lied and he was spying on all Americans. And then what they did is, after the fact, instead of throwing George Bush, president of the United States, in prison and impeaching him for his crimes, what they did was they codified it by law and came up with the Patriot Act and all these other kind of things that allowed them to create these terms called lone wolf and everything else, where they literally codified his fraud into law. Well, now they're basically doing the same thing with elections. They're simply saying, hey, we committed election fraud. We got away with it. Isn't that fantastic? Now let's just codify it in the law. Instead of throwing the people responsible in prison, instead of having accountability at the courts or redress of grievance, instead of legislative bodies being up in arms, they dig it. They love it. So now they're basically on the back end with H.R. 1 and some of these other legislative agendas. They're going to obliterate elections. And this is Heritage Action's attempt to fight back and say, we're putting $10 million in. We're going to fight at the state law level, and hopefully they can make some ground. I happen to agree with Sheriff Richard Mack that, you know what, a lot of money doesn't mean much. The fact is, we've got a bunch of swamp monsters in government at all levels, and I'm not so sure how the people can stop them at this point. There's not enough of us involved. Okay, you've got to shut down mail-in ballots altogether, but you've also got to shut down some of the other laws that we pretend protect elections, the voter laws, all these shenanigans. You say, wait a minute, Sam, those laws are to protect votes. And no, the only way to protect votes is to truly have vote rosters of those people who can confirm that they live in the county ahead of time, not same day, voting in person, where you can verify the vote and that you can have all kind of vote fraud protections in place at the local level, voting in person. And the only absentee ballots would be those that were requested in advance by people who have a justified reason to do so. And then the elections would be counted at the very local precinct level by hand, paper ballots with provable, traceable, auditable logs. That's the only way you're going to solve vote fraud. It's going to be done on a local level, and it's going to be done with paper ballot transparency. Other than that, it's going to be subject to manipulation. Any final note on that, Sheriff?
No, not really, Sam. I think that covered it. And I think it's such a lamentable and horrible situation that we're facing. And, you can, again, point your finger at all of this at both parties. More Democrats than Republicans, but the only time the Republicans really stand and do anything is when the Democrats are in control. Otherwise, they're doing the same damn thing. And I'm so fed up with both parties.
Well, then you might want to follow the advice of our good buddies over at Freedom Watch. You know Larry Klayman, right?
Yes.
He's got an interesting statement for you, and I want to analyze this a little bit here. Ready? Vote Democrat. Sure. It's easier than working.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that.
I mean, he basically literally doubles down and says, you know, they voted this $1.9 trillion everybody gets a handout plan into place. It's socialism on steroids. It is psychotic, to say the least. It will, you know, over time, if they continue this kind of stuff, bankrupt the nation. On one hand, we act like it's for the children and for the next generations and everything else. But the truth is it robs the next generation of wealth and everything else. Anyway, the idea is, if they're going to vote for that much socialism, you don't need to work. All you got to do is vote Democrat. It's easier than working.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's the only time the Republicans really stand for anything is when Democrats are in charge. Otherwise, they do the same thing.
Now, the other choice, or the other solution, would be for a lot of us to go run as Democrats and try to upset or infiltrate the Democratic Party. Might do better with that kind
too.
Of an idea than even running and voting Republican, right?
Yep. Yep. I think the only way that you can get somewhere a lot of times is if you literally run as a Democrat and then try to convince the Democrats that of at least a few things that have gone awry within their own party, and see if you can make some headway that way. Because the Republicans certainly will not support a constitutionalist running for office. They never have. The only one that I've ever remembered that happening to that was a constitutionalist was Ron Paul, a little bit Ted Cruz, but he's fallen away too a lot of times. But a true constitutionalist actually getting elected to anything in this country is extremely rare.
Yes, it is. The swamp is against us, ladies and gentlemen. And it's against
the Republican Party is against it.
Yes, for sure. The swamp, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the whole cabal seems to be against us. But I figured out why finally, Sheriff.
Why?
You are a racist. We know that, right?
Who is?
You.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. You're a racist. I'm a racist. Wouldn't you like to be a racist, too, kind of goes the headline. But here's the interesting thing. Arizona Education Department out of control, Sheriff. I don't know if you saw this headline. But Arizona Department of Education now declares that three-month-old babies are racist. I kid you not. Arizona Department of Education says three-month-old babies show signs of racism. They show the first signs of racism at 3 months old. And that white children remain strongly in favor, they're biased in favor of whites by age five. The document also instructs government schools in Arizona how to change, quote, what it means to be white. So think about that, Sheriff. Now they're literally saying your racism as a white guy started at 3 months old for you, by 5 months old. It was absolutely codified. Into place or whatever it was by age five, I guess. Well, so by 5 years old, your whiteness and your racism is absolutely cemented into who you are, and there's nothing you can do to change it, buddy.
Why would the Department of Education be doing a study on 3 months old who aren't even close to becoming eligible for even preschool?
Well, because they want to stop people from being racist, and they're wondering where they need to start. The answer is, yeah, they got to start before 3 months old, buddy.
Well, I thought the Department of Education was in charge of education.
It is, my friend. And if by 5 years educated to be a racist, they got to undo that, my friend, so that when they get 5 years old and head into the government schools, they're not coming in racist.
I thought they were supposed to just teach my children reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Well, that is reading, writing, and arithmetic. Don't you understand your racism crosses all subjects, my friend? You're not even a racist when it comes to math. You're a racist when it comes to reading, too. You read racist literature.
Okay.
I bet you grew up on Dr. Seuss, didn't you?
Well, a little bit. I remember
my mom
reading that stuff to me.
That's right. That's right. See?
I always thought it was kind of funny, though.
On jokes like how many blacks does it take to change a light bulb, stuff like that. That's the number game. That's the mathematics coming in now. Right?
I also remember, what was it, Sambo?
Yeah, Sambo. See, now you're going to the pancake house, buddy, and promoting your racism.
Yeah.
You're probably eating Aunt Jemima syrup, ain't you?
I have before, but I won't use that anymore.
Do you have watermelon on Black History Month? That's what you do, don't you? Let me tell you how you have watermelon on Black History Month, because you like watermelon. You may not even know it's
Black
History
Month. I actually prefer mangoes.
All right. Do you drink Kool-Aid?
No.
All right, well, somebody gave you Kool-Aid. Well, see, the fact that, now, those are favorite black foods and such. If you don't drink them, then that just proves you're racist, too. What are you, against black
Kool-Aid?
Foods or something? Kool-Aid, man, yeah. See, you don't even know
Kool-Aid was racist.
That you're racist. If you drink Kool-Aid, you're mocking the blacks because it ain't your food. If you don't drink Kool-Aid, you're mocking the blacks because you won't drink their food. You understand? have no way out of this, my dear friend. Because we didn't stop it at 3 months for you. Quick pause. We'll be around the table live. I am Sam Bushman.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
New York's governor continues to ignore calls to resign. The state's Democratic senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand Friday calling on Governor Andrew Cuomo to step down. In a joint statement, they say due to the multiple credible sexual harassment and misconduct allegations, it's clear Cuomo has lost the confidence of the people. Cuomo issuing a response.
I did not do what has been alleged. Period.
Cuomo now facing sexual harassment allegations from seven women. Jessica Bakeman, the latest to come forward, she tells New York Magazine yesterday Cuomo repeatedly touched her 7 years ago while she was a state house reporter in her mid-20s. Minneapolis agrees to settle a lawsuit over George Floyd's death. The city council Friday voting to pay $27 million to close the wrongful death suit filed in July. Lawyer Benjamin Crump represents the Floyd family, and he says the settlement sends a powerful message that black lives do matter and police brutality against people of color must end. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You can save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A somber anniversary in Louisville, Kentucky. Today marks 1 year since Breonna Taylor was shot to death by city police. The death of the 26-year-old EMT in a botched police raid leading to police reforms, the firing of three officers, and a $12 million settlement with the city and Taylor's family. By the end of the weekend, you could have another $1,400 in your bank account. The Treasury Department and IRS already processing stimulus checks from the COVID relief bill signed into law Thursday. President Biden saying Friday we can emerge from the pandemic a better nation.
It's how we do have it within ourselves to come out of this moment, which we've been saying, a lot of us have been saying for a long time, more prosperous, more united, and stronger than we went in. That's where we have a chance to be.
You can start tracking your check Monday at IRS.gov using the Get My Payment tool. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports the rate of vaccinations is up 40% in the last month. Over 2 million people a day now getting vaccinated. Los Angeles County can continue getting back to normal. Indoor restaurants and fitness centers among those that can reopen next week. And schools will welcome back more students. This is USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Richard Mack on your radio. So, Richard, it's a trap, in my opinion, the Department of Education in Arizona literally declaring that three-month-old babies are racist. Okay, they show the first signs of racism by the age of 3 months old, and then white children remain strongly in favor of whiteness by age five. The document also instructs the government schools in Arizona on how to change what it means to be white. In other words, it's a trap, Sheriff. You cannot win as a white person. It happens before you can even remember. It happens before you can cognitively think and make choices. And then every choice you make, they will trap you into a race-baiting scenario. Okay, if you didn't eat watermelon during Black History Month, then you're not willing to celebrate their culture. You're a racist. If you did eat watermelon, then you're mocking black people and you shouldn't be able to eat their foods. It's watermelon, it's fried chicken, It's Kool-Aid. And there's a list of, quote, black foods that if you don't eat them and you're white, you're racist. If you do eat them, then you're racist. And you just can't win with their lies, Sheriff. I kid you not, that's what's happening.
Well, aren't there some white people on the Board of Education that are actually part of that?
Yeah, but they know they're racist. They acknowledge their racism. They're ready to put a collar around their neck and be a slave to try to create appropriate retributions for their abuses and their white privilege.
Who could take this seriously? I mean, really seriously, who could take this seriously?
The answer to your question is people like me at first see these headlines and laugh. Okay? Yeah. Except for they're codifying it into law. This is a document that is in government schools. This is a document that literally has a weight and teeth that are affecting our lives. Let me take it a step further to highlight the point. Future King William hits back at Meghan's racism claim. So Meghan Markle now, what race is she, Sheriff? Do you know?
I know she's part black and I know she's part white, but I think there might be something else in there.
Agreed. So she's, what do they call that, biracial or mixed race or whatever term?
She's at least two, and, I mean, most of us are probably at least three or four or five different ones, but, okay, let's just say, just for the sake of argument, she's half and half.
That's fine. So she's biracial.
Okay. Yes.
She's saying that the royal family or whatever is absolutely racist. When Harry and her had a baby, that behind the scenes they were saying, oh, man, we hope the baby doesn't come out all dark and stuff like this. And so now there's big allegations of racism. King William speaking out, the queen kind of in a panic and a meltdown. And even some of the most royal families are now called racist. And, you know, Meghan and Prince Harry are at the helm of it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's from the littlest kid, a three-month-old white baby, all the way to the royals that they're making these allegations of racism. And I agree with you wholeheartedly that how can you take this seriously? Except for when you start saying this about the royal family, and then you start saying this about 3 months old, and it starts to get codified in documents and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At some point, where do we go with this? It's beyond just a laugh off like, oh, they're goofy. Because they're starting to put it into laws and documents and training children and everything else.
Well, I can't even fathom that they would expect to be taken seriously or that this is, I mean, that is so, why would they be so ridiculous and knowing that they would be with considering this with a three-year-old.
No.
Who,
3 months old is when it starts.
I mean, I'm sorry, 3 months old. I mean, three-year-old.
You don't even get
potty training
for it, my friend.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Oh, my God.
This is what I mean by how insane, and your point's well taken. This is off the rails. I don't even see how we're having this conversation with a straight face, right? Except here's the problem. They're taking people off of Facebook and off of Twitter. They're taking people off of YouTube. They're literally starting to codify, you know, racist and white supremacists are the ones that literally caused the insurrection at the Capitol. They're literally now saying that even the Black Lives Matter movement it's caused by the white supremacist racists and these kind of things. And now you got lone wolf legislation. You've got racist legislation in place against, quote, KKK members all the way down to three-month-old babies to where they have, at first we laughed and thought, well, they'll overplay their hand on this and most people will come to their senses and but it's not happening. People are capitulating everywhere, all the way to the royal families.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know,
it's a diabolical evil designed to divide people and designed to assert government control is what it is.
Oh, yes. There's no question about that. They will use the race baiting to divide us further in this country. In fact, the Democrats are absolutely loving the division that's going on right now with this, and it's really sad. because I really do like my black friends. And it seems like now I look at my black friends and say, do they think I'm racist now? You know, and it's really affected.
Let me stop you there.
The way I look at
the answer. Let me stop you there and say this. The answer for mere mortals who live in America, where we stand shoulder to shoulder as freedom-loving Americans, those people that are black don't think you're racist because they think like we do. They always have, and we've always gotten along, and they know we're not racist, okay? So if you ask a Larvina McCarquar or some of these other people, they don't think you're racist. Sheriff David A. Clark doesn't think you're a racist or anything else. Your friends don't think you're racist. No, this is driven by government, by academia, by the media. This wedge is not related to you and me in America in the day-to-day lives we live with neighbors, people, and friends, and associates, and business colleagues, and partners, and associates, and anything else. It doesn't relate to the real world at all, but it does relate to their narrative, and they have authority to force the narrative and create this divide. So if Larvita pushes back on it, then she's just an Uncle Tom or a Sister Tom or whatever you want to call it kind of an idea, and she's guilty and ignorant too. And so it really comes down to an ideology of if we want to get along and be friends and be kind and respect one another, then we are part of the problem.
Well, that's why you and I have been calling for civility and unity, and the Democrats, of course, will have nothing to do with that. I'm really anxious to see what the Republicans will do with any movement to do that as well. I guess now that the Democrats are in charge, they'll feign the support for this, but I don't know. I just don't trust either one at all to do anything that would really have some meaningful benefit to America.
I don't think it'll have a benefit to America at all. In fact, I think their goal is to destroy and divide America with this evil ideology, because it's not based in fact. It's based in supposition. It's not based in truth. I mean, how are you going to determine what the heart and soul of a white person is at 3 months old, Sheriff?
Well, I know. That's the whole thing. That's the ridiculousness of what we're even talking about here, that they could even bring that out, you know. Maybe it's a way to push back on abortion, because if a three-month-old can already be making those types of decisions, then the baby would have had to have learned that while in the womb. Otherwise, how would he know to be a racist? So obviously,
amen.
There's some
cognitive
skill for an embryo or for an unborn child. So maybe there's a way to use that for some good. See, we told you that babies shouldn't be aborted.
I agree. And the question becomes, how would they determine that? Is it because baby prefers white? In other words, if a white person comes to pick up the three-month-old baby, they seem to coo and are cheerful. If a black person does, they tend to cry. Or, you know, how are they determining this? And is it really a matter of racism and hatred or anything else they would concoct? Or is it just that, you know what, people or natural selection relates to this idea that you're comfortable with whatever? I bet you if you do the same studies with blacks and a black person picks up a black baby versus a white person, they might have a bias as well. And how does that get started? And what they're doing is they're becoming the thought police, Sheriff.
Well, it's my experience with my own five children and my 15 grandchildren that at 3 months, they don't care who they go to. They don't care at that point. Yeah, so.
Well, and that would show that they're not racist.
Yeah, now when they start getting to be close to 10 months and a year old, then they start caring who they go to.
Yeah, but then they don't want to go to other white people either. They want their mama. Preferential treatment. All right, quick pause. Sam and Richard Mack on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Richard Mack on your radio. I know this conversation is just uncomfortable as all get out, and I don't believe it really has to do with race at all either. So when Richard Mack says, how can people even believe this stuff? I agree, people don't believe this stuff. Even the folks that promote this kind of division don't believe it either, but they know. They have learned that over time, Marxism can use the divide of race to really cause havoc in America. And some people are falling for it. You got these, white privilege ideas. You've got, this racist agenda that they push. And it's really causing problems in America. And I thought that it would never get this far either. And every time I think that they've gone too far, and it's just like, are you kidding me? This is just, they push harder. And when they push harder, I see things that make me believe that this is for real. Not for real in fact, but for real by nature of using it as a divide mechanism. So when I see the Arizona Department of Education literally declaring publicly in a document that three-month-old babies are racist, okay? They show the first sign of racism by 3 months old, and it's pretty much, a preference that's codified by 5 years old. I just can't believe it, but I also wonder what the agenda is. Right? What are they going to do next with this, Sheriff?
Yeah, that's the scary thought, because it's so radical and extremist. Two words that they always call us who believe in the Constitution, that's still just mind-boggling to me. Even when we sat down with the Washington Post reporters at the Woodlands after the event was over, that they kept pushing the question and the narrative, if you take these kinds of stands, there's people who believe that it promotes violence. So if you believe in liberty, you're actually saying that's going to create violence in America? So what has created the violence that's going on?
The narrative they're pushing, Sheriff. I believe it's teaching people that everybody's racist, and how they say in their document they say this. Okay?
Yeah.
The document also instructs schools to change what it means to be white. What does it mean to be white, Sheriff?
I really didn't think it meant anything. It just means who
I'll
my parents
what it means.
Are.
It means your skin's white.
Okay, so what?
Right? I agree, so what?
Yes, sir.
But they want to create, okay. They want to create a whole plethora of what that means. And what they're going to do is in that whole guidance of what it means, you've got to deny your privilege. You've got to deny your whiteism that is holding everybody else down. You've got to, and so they're going to extract all this narrative that goes with it. And that's where, in my opinion, it becomes diabolical and evil, sir. Now, if they said what it means to be white, it means that, hey, we have white skin and the pigmentation in our skin scientifically is different than somebody else's. Just like eyes are blue and eyes are brown and eyes are green and eyes are whatever. You know what? Your hair color or your color of your skin is different, and it's diversity in the population, and there's nothing more to that. We'll celebrate our differences and enjoy one another and realize we're all God's children. And that's the narrative that should go forth from this. But it isn't the narrative they're going to paint. They're going to use the government schools to indoctrinate everybody. Back with you live. Thanks for your patience with us. We're having a little bit of power glitches, and we'll do the best we can. We'll be getting Sheriff Richard Mack back momentarily as well. And I'm talking about this race narrative. I cannot believe every time I dismiss this race thing and think, oh man, it can't get crazier, it just goes off the rails crazy. Now, literally, Meghan Markle and Harry are calling the elite family. To where now future King William has to hit back against Meghan's racism claim and say, we are very much not a racist family. Okay, the Arizona Department of Education literally declares that babies show the first signs of racism at 3 months old and they remain strongly biased for white by the time they're 5 years old. The document instructs us to really look into what it means to be white. The document wants to change what it means to be white. What does it mean to be white? To you and me means that I have white skin and somebody else has different color skin and I have, you know, blonde hair or somebody else has brown hair or black hair.
But I told you before, I'm not white. I don't...
What do you?
I mean,
let's
be honest and realistic about what color we are. If we're going to say, this, there's no such thing as black and white. I mean, things aren't just black and white. And I'm darker than a lot of the Hispanic kids I had in my class. And they would bring this subject up. And I said, I'm darker than you are. Why do you call me white? You know? And but I'm telling you, where some of these topics came up in my classes, in my classes, as you know, you've been there before, are largely Mexican and Hispanic kids. And it's the school I taught at was 60% Hispanic. That's where we live in Southwest Phoenix. And it's predominantly Hispanic culture and people. So it's, and we've had these conversations. Some of the Mexican kids think that the school administration and a lot of the teachers are racist. And I would say, tell me what they've done that you think is racist, and then let's examine that. And they really couldn't do it. No, they're just racist. Why do you say they're racist?
Their very existence, Sheriff.
Yeah. So, you know, most of the kids really don't get into the racist baiting and the accusations. I should say.
And that's a blessing.
But I am not. I am very dark complected. I have, I guess, what you would call an olive complexion. And on the Larson side of my family, many of us look Hispanic. And I've been told that my whole life. My own daughter, Mandy, thought because I spoke Spanish that I was a Mexican growing up, and while she was growing up. And, you know, we never explained to her what race we were. So why would she know? Because we never cared about making a point to show our kids what race we were. And so, yeah, in fact, I even had I have a black friend. His name is B.B. Andrews, that I grew up with. He was a little bit older than I idolized him big time because he was such a great basketball player, and I wanted to be on the varsity basketball team so bad, Sam. I mean, I wanted to be on varsity basketball worse than anything in the world. And it was because of these guys that I looked up to so much. He's 4 years older than I, but we became friends later on in life and played softball together and played a little basketball together and some church basketball together. And we're still friends to this day. I could go where he coaches and teaches right now to Safford High School, and we would have the greatest time.
Well, I agree with you completely, Sheriff. And when I, you know, say some of the things that I'm saying, as you know, I'm basically playing the devil's advocate a little bit. But what I'm really doing is highlighting what they're saying and doing. They're literally codifying this divide, and they're educating our youngsters to believe this way. You literally have a government with tax dollars in education departments and through the academic world literally teaching this stuff. And basically driving this wedge that I believe will have generational implications. And I believe it's evil and wrong. I don't believe we're racist at all.
Sorry, Sam, I got cut off in the middle of my talk, but I wanted to just let you know. You can hear me, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so when my little daughter, again, it was Mandy, and we had my campaign manager was Diane Holgate, and I grew up with her. And I used to date her a little bit in high school. She was Mexican, very beautiful, a very good friend of our family. You know, she was my campaign manager when I ran for sheriff. And she never done campaigns before, but she wanted to do it, and I kind of wanted her to do it. And she was battling a brain tumor during this time, and we were really helping with her and whatnot. But she was a really good campaign manager. She was very organized. And one day, Mandy called her black. Well, she had black hair, but her skin was light. I mean, and she was, in fact, I was darker complected. She's passed away because of her brain tumor since then. But so one day, I literally saw B.B. Andrews, and I said, B.B., would you come here a minute? And so I had a Mexican friend at the time. It wasn't Diane, but Mandy would call anybody with black hair and a little bit darker complexion, she would call them black. And I'd say, so he came over and I said, Mandy, this is BB. He's black. This is black. Over here, look at this lady. She's brown. And she got the difference. And they were all just happy to help, you know?
Well, that's because That's because the truth in America, ladies and gentlemen, is we all understand who we are, and we love good people, and we want to stay away from bad people, and that's how life works. But they want to drive a wedge. Let's be smart enough to never let them do it. God save the Republic.